Sure. Amen, amen, amen.
Can you imagine the chain of blindness all your life?
Oh, can you imagine?
He's the chain breaker. And PJ memorized that chorus. So what are those words again?
If you've got pain, he's the pain taker.
Right.
If you were lost, he's the way maker.
Right.
If
prison shaken.
Yeah, if you need freedom and saving, he's the prison shaking savior. You've got chains, he's the chain breaker.
Ooh, that'll Amen. Preach. That'll preach. Listen to the station ID and we'll be right back.
I'm gonna have to go.
All right. We'll give
I
you
wanna stay.
I know. Yeah. Well, give us another comment here real quick and then we'll let you go. And then PJ, you started. Well, I interrupted you, but
oh no, I was gonna say I just love hearing Lola's voice now.
I know, isn't it great? I know it. go ahead, PJ. All right, Nathan, before you go. Go ahead.
That song says it all. It's amazing that God gives songs to us.
Isn't it?
He gives songs to us that preach the word.
Right.
And if we could take the song into our lives, it'll lead us to the cross. It'll lead us to salvation.
Amen. Yes.
He's a way maker. He's a pain taker.
Boy, isn't he?
He's a prison shaking savior.
Prison shaking savior.
Woof. Yeah, he's a chain breaker.
Right. Right.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, this study that we're doing today is really, 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 really touching me.
Good. Good.
You know, just the fact that the people were looking for somebody to blame for the man being blind. The
right.
disciples were looking for somebody to blame. And Jesus said, no, look, think of it this way. What an opportunity for God.
Yes.
What can God do here?
Right.
And God did it.
Ooh, so much.
Yeah, and did it. He did it in a bizarre way.
But he did it.
But he did it.
And he's still doing miracles today. And he's still touching our lives. And
yes, he does.
You're a blessing, Nathan Burton. We love you. We love you. We love you. You're getting ready for hip replacement surgery, and we want our audience to be praying for you. You go Wednesday for pre-op, so we are believing that it will be God will use the surgeon's hands and will get you out of pain, and this thing will be resolved for you because you have many more years of ministry ahead.
Amen.
So God bless you, dear brother. We'll be seeing you very soon. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before you go?
God bless you.
God bless you, Nathan.
All right. Talk to you very soon.
Pastor Jim.
All right.
I love being on with you guys.
Well,
I love being on with you guys.
Let's just get your surgery date and we'll get you on here again real soon. So,
okie dokie.
All right. God bless you. We'll talk soon. Pastor Jim, I absolutely love a story like this that shows that Jesus, God the Father, Jesus the Son, they care, the Holy Spirit, they care about our infirmities. They care about the stuff going on in our lives and look for an opportunity to do something for us. You know, that song we played earlier, Show Me Your Ways, this is one of God's ways, his goodness, his absolute healing power that needs to be demonstrated in our lives more than is because we need to believe him for it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And here, I mean, this is a really good example. He heals.
Yes.
Someone who's basically been bound up for who knows how many years
with
blindness. And again, you know, he said that, where is it? How was it put here? We must do the work of the one who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
And I like what it says above there. This happens so that the works of God might be brought to light.
Yes.
In him. And the man was blind, but it's like Jesus said, I'm going to bring the works of God
to light.
I'm going to show them to the world.
Yes.
And this is what happened. You know, the man, obviously, there were crowds following him everywhere he went. He had to escape from the crowds.
Right.
So a lot of people saw this, and they, you know, then the Pharisees heard about it. And again, at the end of this chapter, he says, look, I came for judgment. I came to force you to a decision.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what that means. I mean, like we said earlier, you got to choose.
Right. We're going to talk more about this in just a moment after another song. But before we get there, PJ, I'd like for you to talk about our prayer line, because we have so many people that use it. We want more people to use it. It's free. There's no obligation.
Absolutely. If you have a prayer request at any time, you can send it to our prayer line, which is prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. And either myself or Shell or Betty will pick up the prayer request, and we send it out to our prayer team. What we do is add a prayer to the request, because we do believe in the power of praying in unity, praying the same thing. And we send it out, and we kind of based on what we read here in John 9, we expect those prayers to get answered. And, you know, the only thing we ask, because we don't ask for any money, you know, we don't ask you to, you know, we're not pray for pay or anything like that. But only thing we ask is that when God answers your prayer,
right,
let us know. Send us back a praise report, because I do keep track of all those.
Right.
I keep track of these that come in through the prayer line. You know, in my emails, I keep track of our Wednesday night answered prayers in a little book that we keep.
Yes.
Because it's important.
Right.
We want to know how God has touched you. And, you know, again, doesn't matter how large, how small the prayer you think your prayer request is, send it to prayers at bohmglobal.com.
Yes.
We want to pray for you.
That's right. We do, so do that. And you mentioned money. We don't ask for money. But every once in a while, I remember to tell people how they can help us with radio bills, the outreach that we're doing. That's what the money that comes in goes for. So if you would like to give of your tithes and offerings, go to our webpage, which is bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage to donations. Hit that, and PayPal window will open, and you can give. And again, all that money that comes in goes for radio bills. This show, we do a Thursday night show that is not paid for by money that comes in. This is by individual sponsors. Go Yard, and that is with Dr. Angel Falzoni and me, Mama Mac, that's my other name. And it's a life coaching show. This past week, Pastor Jim, I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet, but if not, go to podcast here at Tan Talk and listen to Go Yard from this past Thursday night, any of you. Because I was feeling in my spirit that there were some people that needed to have addressed how to get unstuck in an abusive situation. And I gave Angel a minute or two notice, and we sat down. There was no planning. There was no preparation other than, God, we're going to trust you that what needs to be said here is said. And I interviewed her basically, and it probably was one of the best shows we've ever done, because God was so in it. And I heard from someone today that's listened to the show 4 times already and has been blessed by the information that came out. Dr. Angel is a part of our ministry. She's on this show from time to time. She's a PhD and licensed mental health counselor, and she gave some sound, wonderful advice this past Thursday night. So if you didn't catch it, go to this radio station's website, tantalknetwork.com, and hit the tab of podcasts. Go down to Go Yard, because that means hitting a home run. That's the name of our show, and you'll see last Thursday night's show. And we're doing that to help people in so many areas. It's not a God show, but God comes into the show so many times, and God really...
Imagine that.
I mean, isn't it? I mean, it's not like this Sunday show, but it's just amazing to be able to share the good news that people can be set free from things that they've been walking in for so long. We tackle every kind of problem you can imagine, so... We've been on the air 2.5 years for that Thursday night, 6 o'clock p.m. show. And just go there and listen. You can go to our website, goyard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. And we have all the shows we've done with titles, so you can go and catch things. But in order to catch this one, it's still not on our website yet, because our webmaster does that for this show and our Thursday show at the end of each month. So go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcast, go down to Go Yard, and listen to a life-changing show from this past Thursday night. And, of course, there's many others there, too. So, Pastor Jim, what a joy to be able to talk and be on the air and give God the glory and the praise for what he's doing and what he did back here 2,000 years ago for this blind man. We're going to talk about the blind man's parents and how they got cornered in just a moment. That's definitely what we're going to do because that happens, you know. Before we do, in keeping with this theme of the song we just did, Chain Breaker, I have been playing this new Chris Tomlin album, which is entitled Never Lose Sight, in my car quite a bit. And I played this song a couple times on the radio a few weeks back. I got to play it again. It is an amazing song, Impossible Things, and it features Danny Gokey. I don't know. This is one of my favorite songs right now, PJ. Chris Tomlin and Danny Gokey. Oh, and it'll just get you moving here. Get you dancing.
You healed a broken hearted. You set the captive free.
Same theme.
You lift the heavy burden. And even now you are lifting. Darkness surrounding me. There you prepare a table. In the presence of my enemies. Yeah, there is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Oh, our God is with us. We will fear no evil. 'Cause you do.
like that as much as I like that song.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like Chris Tomlin, and I really like Danny Gokey.
Oh, my gosh, I do too.
And together, that's really wild.
You know, when we were doing our revival up in Indiana in October, we did a song. I don't know. It seemed like we did it a few times. Give Me Jesus by Danny Gokey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, love that song. He is just an amazing artist, and all these people are that we play here on the show. We're in John chapter 9 today. We're talking about the man that had been blind, how slow down, and from birth, and how Jesus mixed a little concoction of his saliva with dirt, put it on his eyelids, anointed his eyelids with it, and then told him to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he would see, and he did. He obeyed, and there was quite a ruckus. And Pastor Jim, we were talking in the last hour with Nathan about the ruckus that happened, and the ruckus got so bad that this blind man's parents got involved. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah, because, again, remember the Pharisees, they asked the man, and what do you think about this guy who healed you? Well, he said he's a prophet. So then they didn't believe that. So they had to find some way to disprove it. So they thought, well, let's go after the fact that he was blind. So let's go find his parents and have them tell us that, he wasn't blind. Well, so they dragged the parents in. And this is in about verse 20. The parents answered, "We know that this is our son." Okay, this is our son, and he was born
okay.
blind.
Yes.
"We don't know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. He's old enough to speak for himself. Ask him." And in verse 22, it says the parents said this because they were afraid of the Judean leaders, because they said anyone who professed Jesus to be the Messiah would be cast out of the synagogue.
So, big threat.
Which, yeah, it was like getting cast out of church.
Right, it was, yeah.
So they didn't deny anything. They just didn't fully answer the question.
Right.
And they may not have known, you know. Look, we don't know. We don't know what happened. Go ask him. He's of age. And I love it. So then they come back and talk to the blind man again. And his responses are priceless.
Yeah, they really are. I love it. Go ahead.
I mean, because he says, so in verse 24, "A second time they came to the man who had been blind and said, 'Give glory to God.'" That basically is saying you have to tell the truth.
It was like an oath.
Like swearing.
I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Help me God, right? That's what it was.
Right. "We know that this man is a sinner," speaking of Jesus. "The man replied, 'I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see.'"
Love it. "I was blind and now I see." Wow.
And so they ask him, "Well, what did he do? How did he open your eyes?" And I love it. The blind man says, "Well, I told you once and you wouldn't listen." "What? Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples also?"
Oh, that's so good.
And oh boy, that made the Pharisees really angry, and it got to the point where they just basically started name calling, because it says they railed at him and said, "You're a disciple of that one, but we're disciples of Moses."
Mm-hmm.
"We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know where he's from." And the blind man said, "Well, that's amazing. You don't know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes." Okay,
right.
Basically saying, y'all better get on the ball, because this man opened up my eyes. Whoever
Absolutely.
He is, he opened up my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone fears him and does his will, he hears that one's voice. Since the beginning of the world, it's never been heard of that somebody opened the eyes of a man born blind."
Wow.
"If this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything."
Right.
So, I mean,
The blind man's really taking some serious statements here, making some serious.
He's preaching.
Yeah. He's saying, don't you guys remember? Nobody's ever opened the eyes of a blind man. This is a first, for heaven's sake. Right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, he pointed that out. And in verse 34, the Pharisee said, "You were born completely in sin, and you're teaching us." and they threw him out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only recourse they had, because he basically stood, you know, he made fools of the Pharisees.
Right.
And the only recourse they had was to throw him out of the synagogue.
Which is what his parents were so afraid of happening.
Right. Well, it happened.
And talk about the religiosity of this, even in our day, when people don't go along with something that's happening in a church, they get thrown out a lot of times. You want to talk about any of that?
Oh, yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
but it's true. I mean, and it can be over, well, most often it's over something stupid.
Right.
You know, something small.
Right.
Churches get so rigid in their doctrine. And as I've aged, 40 years ago, I was really rigid in my doctrine.
Right.
I was ready to, roast them, toast them, burn them in hell if you didn't believe exactly the way I did.
Woo.
Yeah. I was. Yeah.
I know. But you have mellowed.
But I have mellowed through the years.
You dear man.
I'll disagree with you on the timing of the rapture, but I won't send you to hell for not believing the same way I do.
Good news.
But that's kind of how the Pharisees were.
Right.
I mean, they, and in some churches even today, if you don't believe everything, and I'm not talking, obviously, the major doctrines, but every, like, small things, like, then you have to go.
Right.
Because you don't believe the same way we do.
Some churches are extremely rigid, yes.
And,
yeah.
And if, and it's basically a control issue. I mean,
right.
And God didn't make us all to be just
right.
We're supposed to be in unity, but not in uniformity.
We're not supposed to all be robots and all think and act and look and everything the same.
Right. And with the blind man, he just said the truth. He just said, look, I don't know. He said earlier, he's a prophet. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I just know I was blind, and now I see.
Yeah.
And that just, because they basically had to, well, the only thing they could do is throw him out because they couldn't argue.
Right.
Because the statement that he made was true. No one's ever heard of a man healing somebody who's been blind from birth. So he must be from God, or he couldn't do anything. Well, they couldn't answer that.
Right.
Except to make a nasty comment and toss him out of the synagogue. And that, unfortunately, is what happens way too often.
It really does. You know, Christians get a bad name for, our church behavior sometimes, and our lack of grace and mercy, And people are always looking for someone to blame, to go back to that.
Well, and it's a...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm assuming we're probably on the same track. Well, why should I go to church? It's just a bunch of hypocrites.
Right.
Okay. So you're blaming, that to me, that's a cop out.
Right.
Find yourself a church that's not. Come to Beacon.
Right. There's always going to be people in church that you don't agree with, and there's always going to be people that don't dress the way you think they should, or say something that you don't like, or whatever. But we are, it's just like with your own family, there's always going to be disagreements. There's always going to be problems and hassles. That's just part of life with people. But
because we are people.
Because we are. But one thing that God wants us to learn is how to get along and love each other regardless of our differences. That's something that's important to God. He talks about the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. I mean, my thumb, when I do this, my brain is told it to do this, right? To bend.
She's wiggling her thumb.
I'm wiggling my thumb. Yeah, you can't see. But I mean, it's that coordination in the body of Christ that we need. Your brain telling your knee, okay, stand up, or whatever, your back, stand up. And so often we become so rigid. And I think this is something that really hurts the heart of God, because 1 John is all about loving each other, loving our brethren, and loving each other as we love him. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus asked the young lawyer that came to him. He said, the young lawyer said in Luke 10, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life, right? Jesus said, how do you read it? And he said, well, I think I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my mind, and my strength, and my neighbor as myself. And he goes, oh, bingo, you got it. You want to address that?
Well, yeah, I mean, so many people major on minors. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
The love, well, love covers a multitude of sins.
Right.
Love covers a multitude of irritations.
True.
Love covers a multitude of those little minor things that don't amount to a hill of beans. You know, I just read, I'm back to using the faith-to-faith devotional from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
Yeah, I've got that.
And I just read the one just a couple of days ago about unity. And, you know, we unify around Jesus. We don't unify around a doctrine.
Right. It's around Jesus.
It's around Jesus. Because if we unify around a doctrine,
right,
then we're not really unifying.
That's really a good point. And in regard to these parents, they were more concerned of being thrown out of the synagogue, which was a hypocritical bunch of people for the most part. They were more concerned about being thrown out of their peer group than telling everyone and rejoicing that this must be the Messiah because their son who had been born blind was now seeing.
Right,
Isn't it a hypocritical thing that they were much more concerned about the approval of the people they went to church with?
Fear of man brings a snare.
It certainly does.
And that's what they were afraid of.
Yeah.
I mean, so many times, and I know in my own life there have been times when I maybe should have talked about what God had done, but I was afraid of what the consequences would be.
Yes.
And I think we need to look at the difference between the parents and the son.
Yes.
The parents had that fear of man.
Right.
The son obviously did not.
No.
I mean, he just got right up in their faces and said, look, he healed me.
Right.
You know, you've heard my parents. They said I'm their son. They said I was born blind, and now I see.
Right. In other words, it's really very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have these God moments in our lives, these suddenly moments where God just comes and moves in our situation, we need to remember to give God the glory. Because back in the beginning of this chapter, when the disciples said, who's to blame here? Jesus said, nobody's to blame. Quit looking for someone to blame. Let's look and see how God can get glory out of this situation. Right? That's what it's all about. How can God get glory out of our situations in our lives? Why do we so often spend time worrying about what other people think of us and whether or not we're in the in crowd at church or the social group that we're in?
And I'm sorry, there ought not even be an in crowd.
There should not be, but there is. That's the way churches are. And that's why so many people churches get a bad rap. Because people's gossipy, judgmental attitudes a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this blind man saying, hey, you know what? I was blind, now I see. That it's about that simple. You know, God touched me. Why can't we be so emphatic? God touched me and brought me up out of depression or out of anxiety or out of panic. Or God set me free from this pain I have or this rash I have or whatever, countless numbers of things, right? Chest pain, whatever it is. And give God the glory. That's what it's all about. I got to play this
Amen.
Song. Go ahead. It's Chris Tomlin. I wasn't going to. God just said, this is the one. And I looked and I remembered it was it's song two on that same album. And it's simply entitled Jesus.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside.
Praise God. No one like you, Jesus. Boy, that really fits with this show today.
Oh, I love that song.
Isn't that a great song, Chris Tomlin?
I love the chorus.
Oh, yeah. Can you repeat the words? Stands in the fire with us. I like that part of it, too. All of it.
Walks on the water.
Water. Yeah.
Speaks to the sea. Stands in the fire beside me. Roars like a lion. Bled like a lamb.
Yeah.
Bled like a lamb.
Right. Roars like a lion. Yeah.
Carries my healing in his hand.
Oh, just amazing song.
I mean, that's it.
That's it.
That's Jesus right there.
Chris Tomlin right there. Wow. 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 You know, when we talk about this blame thing, I want to finish up maybe with where I was on the post on Thursday. If you missed it, go to Facebook and go to your search bar. Go to hashtag blame game. Because I explained Revelation 12, 10 to 12, and I want to finish the show with that because so often we are simply blaming others all the time, and we do that because the enemy, the devil, who is real, is constantly working overtime to get us to accuse people. And we're going to go to Revelation 12, 10 to 12. Because here, through the Apostle John, Jesus calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And we were just talking about problems in churches. And so often, Pastor Jim, this is really what's going on. Mm-hmm. The accuser of the brethren is working overtime to accuse people to others, to accuse God to us, to accuse us to us. I mentioned those three on the video. The accuser of the brethren works overtime to accuse you to you. In other words, to condemn you for all kinds of stuff. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The devil works overtime to accuse others to you so that you are like, oh, I just can't stand that person. Or I don't like the way they, you know, all of that. Or the third thing the devil works to accuse God to you and say, God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really care about your situation. God is just not fighting for you. Where is he anyway? He's not even answering your prayers. So with that preamble, or whatever you want to call that. That's the only word I can think of, preamble, and that's not right. But anyway, with that intro, PJ, take it. Talk to us about this and how this relates to this whole situation of the blind man and the people at church.
Well, okay, it talks about how we overcome, because, I mean, the whole thing before this is kind of that, what I call the panorama of salvation history, the kind of John's vision of that. And he sees the final war in heaven between Michael and the devil.
Right.
And that's where in verse 10 of Revelation 12, he says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed one.
Yes.
For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the one who accuses them before our God day and night,
devil,
has been thrown out."
Yes.
And, you know, people think, well, devil can't go to heaven. Well, yeah, he's up there for right now.
He walks in and out accusing.
He'll go to the throne room.
He gets audiences.
Yeah, he'll go to the throne room.
Mm-hmm.
I can just see him, not even so much an audience, but kind of at the edge of the throne room, yakking away about, well, you know, blah, 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 so-and-so, blah, 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 and this person did this, and this person did that. And eventually there's going to, you know, God just says, the blood.
Right.
That's all he has to say. It's gone.
These three things that he says, we overcome by these three things.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Which obviously, that's a whole series in itself.
Oh, it is.
I mean, Chris Tomlin just mentioned it. He bled like a lamb.
Yes.
We're approaching, of course, resurrection season.
We're going to talk more about that. Yeah.
Passover.
Yeah.
Jesus, you know, when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Yeah.
And Jesus is our Passover lamb.
Yes.
And his blood has redeemed us. And in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. We are bought back.
Yes.
By the blood. We are protected from the destroyer by the blood. We are delivered by the blood.
Amen.
And that's the initial way that we overcome is by the blood. Because that's the basis for everything.
Yes.
Is the blood of the Lamb. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, by his resurrection and ascension and sitting at the right hand of God.
Amen.
He took the keys of death and hell away from Satan. Satan lost.
Right.
He thought he'd won. When Jesus went to the cross, I bet Satan was just rubbing his hands in glee because he figured, now I've got him. I'm going to kill the Son of God.
Right.
Well, ha, ha, ha.
He did not stay in that tomb.
No, he did not. He rose on the third day, according
Amen.
To the scriptures.
Amen.
And took his blood before the Father. And the Father said, it's enough.
Right.
It is enough. Eternity past, eternity future. It's all been taken care of.
Right.
So that's step one. And then the word of our testimony. Look at the blind man. He said, look, I was blind.
Right.
I can see.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I think he's a prophet. But all I know is I was blind. I can see. He gave the word of his testimony. And, you know, we talked about that before. We need to be bolder. I need to be bolder about my own testimony.
Right.
Because we, you know, tell of his... The scripture about tell of all his wonders.
And, yes.
You know,
yes,
I think it's Psalm 9. I will tell of all his wonders.
Is. Yeah.
And we need to do that because each one of us, God has done something
right
miraculous in each one of our lives. And, you know, if there's anybody listening who thinks God hasn't, send us a prayer request. We'll make sure he does.
Right.
I mean, I'm stepping out on faith here, but you know
but
what?
But we see it all the time
right.
in our answers to prayer. He is always intervening in our behalf.
Right.
And the word of our testimony is so important because we can get off into negativity so easy, and we can get on in this whole blame game thing ourselves by accusing others, blaming others. Well, this wouldn't happen if you hadn't done this, or this wouldn't have happened if that hadn't, you know.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's easy. And again, just general negativity. You know, we may be wanting to talk about it, but again, we're fearful. But our words have power. And if we, you know, if we just even proclaim a psalm, you know, that's powerful right there. Just sing one of the psalms.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And just to say, you know what? If you know Jesus, you've got a word of your testimony.
Exactly.
You know what? Jesus loves me.
Right.
And I got saved, you know, on this date. For me, I got saved on October 30th, 1973.
Hmm.
And that for a while was, you know, that's all the testimony I had. Then multitude of other things happened because God kept moving. But, you know, if you're saved, you've got a testimony.
Yes, you do have a testimony.
God saved me.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. I mean, I think of Amazing Grace.
Oh, I know.
You know?
You know, yesterday I was very honored to do the funeral for one of our dear men at Palm Garden that we've known for years, and I did his wife's funeral. They always used to come to our mm-hmm. services. And, you know, it was interesting, as I usually always give time for family to talk. And everybody kept saying, and one of his grandsons said, I think we need to call this whole thing today a giving heart. And he talked about John always going to Palm Garden when Gloria, his wife, was there, and he would spend from early morning to late at night, not just taking care of her, but walking around. This was a few years back, walking around the facility and pushing people to lunch or doing anything he could. And we remembered him yesterday as a giving heart. And then there was that funny moment when I said, I remember 2.5 years ago when at Gloria's funeral, at the end, I said, is there anybody has anything else they want to add? And John spoke up and he said, yes, let's sing a song. And I said, sure, we can sing a song. What do you want to sing? And he said, God Bless America. And I found out yesterday that he had everybody that came to Palm Garden for their entertainment always conclude with God Bless America.
Really?
And so, of course, we had to do that yesterday in tribute to John. So at the end of the funeral, we all stood, put our hands over our hearts, and we sang God Bless America in tribute to John. But, you know, he loved his country. He was a giving heart. And I say all that to say, don't we want to leave behind a testimony of a giving heart? Don't we want people to remember who we were by our attitude, by our giving, by the word of our testimony, that we weren't negative, we were always positive, we wanted God to bless our nation, we wanted God to do good things in our lives and everybody around us. John's life, John Galena, was an amazing servant of the Lord who loved his wife and his children and was known as a giving heart. Mm-hmm. Tribute to little John today. Not little. He was a big, wonderful man with a huge heart. But it goes along with this. The word of our testimony shows our character. That's the point I'm trying to get at, Pastor Jim. What we say about our situation, about other people in our lives, shows who we are.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's the word of our testimony.
Yes.
And then the one nobody likes. And they loved their lives. They did not love their lives even in the face of death.
Yes.
I mean, totally sold out to God, totally
right.
Willing to give your life. And again, we go back to our story.
Right.
The parents, they were afraid. They didn't say anything. But the blind man couldn't keep his mouth shut.
He couldn't, because he knew this was real.
Mm-hmm.
His miracle was real. And, you know, when it comes to eternity, which we're going to be facing, all of us at some point, whether Jesus comes back before we all go to heaven or whether we die before that happens, there will come a time when we are entering his presence. And what we've said in our lives, what we've done, what we've accomplished, the attitudes we've had, the character we've developed, did we have a giving heart? Did we give to those around us? Did we live this life? Did we love Jesus? This is a point I made on the video the other day. are we so in love with Jesus that his life in us is more important than us getting our own way? That's the point I made. Mm-hmm. And you can answer that in a minute, but we have to do this song, Home, by Chris Tomlin. I love it. I love it. Because we're going home, just like John just did. He's with his dear Gloria. And we're going to be with all of our friends and loved ones.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace. In heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain.
Chris Tomlin has just outdone himself on this album. I mean, I love all of them, but this one is just speaking to my heart, I think, more than ever before. That song is an amazing song.
And it has lines in it that tie this whole show together.
It does, and it was not. And that's the Holy Spirit, because I wouldn't even plan on using that song today. Go ahead.
Well, home where the streets are golden, home where the chains are broken. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Big old circle.
That's how God does it. You know, it's so good to be able to share the Word of God week after week on the air, on the show. And we just really encourage you, tell your friends about the show and have them tune in. And the good thing about technology now is Pete had just walked in to DJ the next show or to engineer the next show. He'll have this up on podcast tonight. So you can go back to this song, to this whole show, and listen as many times as you want. Right here on TanTalkNetwork.com, go to the podcast and then go to Living the Good Life, and it'll be there in within the next couple hours. And that's amazing. And then every weekend on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, we start off the morning on that network, which is now in 55 cities across the United States and several countries, 8 or 10 countries. And at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning and Sunday morning is my Spanish show I do, Despiértame Hoy, all in Spanish. And at 10 o'clock, we do the Living the Good Life show of the week, which this show will be on this Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m., StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And then at 12, we do our Go Yard show. So we have the morning kind of Saturday and
kinda
Sunday
locked up.
Locked up here with StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Four words. So, Pastor Jim, I'm feeling very blessed today because we have an amazing team on the radio. We have an amazing new ministry with Facebook Live, which is really blessing hundreds of people. And God gets all the glory. God gets all the praise. All he's looking for is willing vessels. Would you address that? And because I feel very humbled.
Well,
you know, doing that funeral yesterday, just the lives that we're touching that we don't even realize sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know who's listening to the show. We don't know, you know, we don't know who all's being touched by the ripples from the Facebook stuff. We don't know who's being touched by just seeing a smile.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
And it is humbling, and it's an awesome responsibility.
It is.
Sometimes, because, you know, going back to Revelation 12, because of the blood, we have a testimony, and we need to be sold out enough where we're not afraid,
right,
to share it. We're not afraid to, and it may not necessarily mean martyrdom, but we're not afraid to suffer shame.
Right.
Or people's ridicule.
Right.
For our testimony.
Right.
You know, for Jesus.
Right.
And that's being sold out. That's giving all for him.
Absolutely. It's living boldly and not being ashamed of who we are. I love what Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first, also to the Greek. And that's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed of the
I'm
gospel.
I'm not ashamed of it. And
we were at an event yesterday, and Dr. Angel and Nan and I, we passed out a lot of our rat cards and our brochures and stress balls for our Go Yard show and all that. But on our rat cards, I would point out, here's a life coaching show we do every Thursday night. And then I would put my finger on, this was to hundreds and hundreds of people yesterday, and then say, and on Sunday we have a God show that will really bless you. And it was interesting because I probably passed out 300 or 400 cards at least, and most people took it with a smile. Oh, I'll check that out. A few said, then I don't want that. There were a few, I don't want that, and kind of pushed my hand, you know, like, no, nothing about God. You know, but we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Exactly.
Because it is the power of God for salvation. And we do need to be saved, every part of us, not just our soul saved, but our mind transformed by the renewing of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. And we are excited about one day we're going to heaven. And we are so blessed to know people like John Galena, mm-hmm, who really lived the life of Jesus and was a grateful heart and a giving heart. And that's what we need to be right here while we go ahead.
I just felt, you know, I just want to speak to those people that turn the stuff away.
Right.
My guess is, my thought is, they've been hurt by the church,
sure,
because of who,
sure,
they are.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they've been made to feel like an outcast.
Right.
And I just speak to that would be healed.
Amen.
That their heart would be softened and they would respond to the gospel. Each person, and God,
yes,
you know who they are.
God knows.
I'm speaking to each one of them that you would move in their lives, that you would soften their hearts, that you would just put a hunger in their hearts to know you, the one,
yes,
true God, and,
yes,
Jesus, the Messiah, whom you have sent, and that you would put people in their path to speak the good news of the gospel to them. And we just call the blinders taken off their,
amen,
eyes.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus.
Yes, praise God. Thank you for doing that. And, you know, we encourage you to get in the Word of God. This ministry, our slogan has been for 15 years, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's not us. We're just the vessels. It's the Word of God that we are talking about week after week for 10 full years here is the Word of God and how it can change you, how it can give you new hope, how it can bring healing to your emotions and your past. It's God's Word. Address that, PJ, because we got about another minute before we got to get off of here.
Well, it is. It's God's Word combined with the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony.
I mean, amen. And there it is, right words, there.
You know, it's and in Jesus, you know, put the power of the name behind that, and you'll be unbeatable.
That's right.
It's so. There's so much God wants to do for each one of us, in each one of us, and through each one of us.
Yes.
You know, He wants to make a change in us. But he wants to promote change through us, through
Amen.
The power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
If we'll just submit to that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Jim. You are a blessing. My associate pastor at Beacon of Hope all these years, such a blessing. And we share such a great working relationship and friendship that you just never know how much I appreciate all that you do. And Nathan Burton, too. And thank you, Nathan, for contributing today in such an amazing way, too. So we encourage you to check out our website. We need to update it a little bit, and we'll get that done. Sorry about that. So many hours in a day. They're just not so many. www.bohmglobal.com. Check it out. And check out our Facebook post. And this past week, go to Facebook, the search bar, and put in #blamegame.
Right.
And that was the post that we did. I actually had to do it from my home office, since we couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work on Wednesday night at church. But our plan is to try to do it, maybe a shorter version on Wednesday night at 7:30. We still want to try to do that because so many people know that time now. So we'll just see how it goes. We'll try again this week. We'll see.
Which I do want to bring up. You mentioned the website.
Yes.
The website says we meet on Friday. We actually meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 at the Red Roof Inn on Olmerton Road.
Thank you for bringing
Clearwater.
That up.
And if you're in here, if you're down here for the snowbird season, whatever, come visit us.
6 o'clock prayer meeting, 6:30 Bible study, starting with wonderful praise and worship, getting into the Word, and then 7:30 live on Facebook for a few minutes, if that works. So anyway, God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister. This has been Pastor Jim Ellsbury and our dear, wonderful, musical, amazing guy, Nathan Burton, bringing you the truth of living the good life this week. It's not far to Jesus. Just know that and know He loves you. God bless you. See you next week. Actually, Pastor Jim will host next week. I'll be in Texas. So we'll see you soon. 2 weeks from today, I will be back. All right. Check it out with Pastor Jim next week. God bless you. Have a good week.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you.